This is the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker, sharing real life stories and experiences. Why Your Story is produced by SVI Media and available on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app. And now, from the SVI Media Studios located in scenic Star Valley, Wyoming, here's Travis and Mary Jo with the Why Your Story podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Why Your Story podcast, coming to you from the beautiful studios of SVI Media here in Star Valley, Wyoming. I am your host, Travis Osmond.
And I'm your co-host, Mary Jo Parker.
Mary Jo, you're not really a co-host. You're just as much of a host as I am.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay?
You bet.
So you can say, I'm your host, Mary Jo Parker, and then I'll say, I'm your co-host.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm your host, Mary Jo Parker.
And I'm your co-host, Travis Osmond.
Oh, stop.
We are so excited to be back with you. Appreciate everybody listening, and we hope that you're enjoying these podcasts as much as we are enjoying making them.
Absolutely. So much has changed since we've been here.
Oh, my heavens.
That COVID thing has just been putting a damper on things.
It's kind of shut our entire valley down. And I, you know, normally this time of year when the sun starts shining a little bit and we start feeling like we can open our wings and shake the dust off our feet. But this year it's kind of kept us inside and cramped us and shut us down. You know, from us here at SVI Media and the Why Your Podcast, we hope that everybody's doing okay and that everybody's healthy and well and has plenty of hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
Yes, please be safe. Please be smart. This is a real thing, and obviously it's worldwide. And, you know, I thought 9/11 changed the world, but I think this is probably a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, I sure hope we can recover from this. I mean, it seems like our poor business owners and our just economy in general has just gone down the tube.
Absolutely. Yeah, my heart is full for all those people that work for themselves.
Yep. Well, let's talk about something wonderful today that might lighten everybody's spirits.
Your mom.
My mom and your mom.
That's right.
Happy Mother's Day.
Woo woo. Happy Mother's Day, moms.
We wanted to do a podcast for Mother's Day and talk a little bit about the women in our lives, our moms, our grandmas, our spouse, our wives.
Our friends, our aunts, our sisters, our friends, our teachers, people. You don't have to give birth to be a mother.
Absolutely.
Or to have that kind of influence on an individual. And my mom is no longer here on the earth, and I was raised by a single mom. And so I have a special, oh gosh, I didn't think I was going to do this, a special tenderness for single moms. And especially during this time that they need to work and they also need to teach their kids at home. And so to everybody that influences, the women that influence other people throughout the world, our hearts are out there for you.
There's got to be a special place in heaven for a single mom.
You know I mean? Agree.
There has to be like, okay, here's heaven for everybody, and now here's heaven mm-hmm. for single moms. I just have to admire them to death.
Yep, I agree.
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how she did it either, but she did a good job. I think I wasn't the easiest kid to raise, but it was just me and her, and I tried to never, like, you know, do anything that made her uncomfortable or sad, and I think I did an okay job, but I could have always done better. What about you? You were raised completely different than me. I was raised as an only kid, pretty much had just about everything I wanted but a dad.
Yeah.
And what about you?
So I still, you know, I look at what I guess society would consider normal, and I don't feel like I was raised normally at all. My dad literally was gone 300 days a year. So I look at that and I say, okay, well, my mom really did raise us.
Yeah.
But so I got to tell you a funny story about my wonderful mom.
Okay.
So there were six kids mm-hmm. in my family. There were four boys and two girls, and I was the oldest. And my mother, bless her heart, would do her best to keep us in line. All these rowdy kids, you know, and
sure.
And so what she would do is she had this little list on the refrigerator and it had our names. And if you got a check mark by your name,
mm-hmm.
that was a spanking when dad got home.
Oh boy.
And my dad was gone sometimes for months at a time. So we would look at that and she, you know, if I said something to her, or if I didn't do a chore, or you know, something that warranted getting my butt kicked, she'd walk over to the fridge and put a check mark by my name. Now, I could work that off. I could work the check marks off.
Oh, good.
But that's how my mom kept order in the house, was threatening spankings from my dad. But, you know, my poor dad, I guess, you come home, you haven't seen your kids in months, you know.
Yeah.
You walk in the kitchen, hi, Travis. Okay, let's go have a spanking. But that, you know, bless my mom's heart, that was the only way she could keep us in line.
Wow. Would he really spank you?
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. I got several hundred.
With the hand?
I got it with the hand. I got it with the foot. I never did get whipped with a belt or
a twig
or anything like that.
A fly swatter.
Did it hurt?
Oh, my heck. A fly swatter on the back of my legs.
Oh, yeah. That hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts.
That hurts so bad. I remember one time when I was about six, I was with a friend, and we had watched this lady next door collect bottles. And we're like, well, she's not using them, so we'll just go get our wagons and go down to the store, and we'll cash them in and get candy. Oh, we bought a lot of candy. And so we came home, and my grandma was like, where did you get the candy? And of course, I lied. And of course, she told my mom when she got home. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, my mom woke me up, and she said, Mary Jo, what really happened? So I told her, and she said, well, you need to work this off, and you're going to mop the floor. For 2 straight weeks, my mom woke me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh. I'm 6 years old, and I mopped the floor. And I remember one time I kicked the bucket. I was so tired and angry. And I looked at her and I said, I'm Cinderella, and you're the wicked, wicked mother. But I never in my life took anything after that. She was a really wise woman.
Well, bless her heart. She sounds like a good lady.
Yeah. Nowadays, she'd probably be put in jail for that, but
yep.
I don't know.
Times have changed.
They have. Yep, they have a lot. Changed.
So tell me some more about your mother. Let's just talk about moms in general. What did you love about your mom?
I love that she taught me to love the outdoors. She was a great gardener. I love that I was her life. And even when I did things that weren't correct, that she would still love me just the same. And she taught me to believe in myself that I could do anything I wanted. And I hope I instill that in my own children, that they can do anything they want. And it's just really important to be kind. She's a very good example of kindness. I remember one year I got a lot for Christmas. I mean, I don't know why, but I did. I just always had really great Christmases. And she decided that one year we were going to give Christmas to these kids across the street that didn't have much. And I remember the boys had orange coats. And you could just see these little boys that didn't have coats at all in the winter. And they would run up and down with those orange coats. And she's just that kind of a person, hard worker, and just super great. She was funny and she was great. And my grandma lived with us too. So when I'd come home from school, I'd have my grandma. I would have somebody there until she got home. So
awesome.
Not much went past them at all. Yeah.
Yeah, that's neat. I look back at being raised and my mother. I think that, you know, she grew up on a dairy. She was a dairyman's daughter.
Really?
Except her dad died when my mom was 7 years old. So was raised without a dad also on the dairy. But I think, you know, because of that, she really learned the value of hard work.
Oh, yeah.
And sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking back on how I was raised, I am very grateful that my mother taught me the value of hard work. I mean, I come to my office and I look at all the things I have to get done in a day. Mm-hmm. And even today, a bad day still doesn't compare at all to the chore lists my mother used to give me.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't get everything done in 1 week that she wanted me to get done in 1 day.
Mm.
But, you know, she was very demanding that we get things done, and she taught us the value of hard work. But the other thing was when we did accomplish something, she was very quick to reward us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I learned that, and I do that. I find myself doing that with my kids, that, hey, we're going to work hard. We're going to get this done. We're going to stick with it. But once we're done, hey, we're going to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
And celebrate getting something hard done.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, that's great. How does Megan do?
Oh, she's the best mom. My sweet wife. I question her choice in men.
Well, I shan't say anything.
You know, no. she is the greatest mom. You know, I think that I think that because of the there are 10 kids in her family.
Oh wow.
And her mom is such an amazing person with the ability to run this big ranch that they have, mm-hmm. and raise 10 kids
wow.
on this ranch. And it just blows my mind the kind of woman that she is to have raised these 10 great kids. Mm-hmm. And Megan is, she represents that. She, because of her upbringing, she is the kind of mom like her mom is. But I really admire Megan because we couldn't have kids of our own.
Really?
So we adopted our two kids.
Mm.
And so to when you mentioned before we started this podcast, you don't have to have kids to be a mom. You don't have to have kids. You can adopt for yep. those moms that, mm-hmm. that couldn't have children but have adopted. And to those wives that can't have kids, that don't have kids.
Right.
You're still a mom.
Right. And to those that have given children away.
Yeah. And that I was going to get to that. That was on my list. I wanted to talk for a minute about those moms that made the ultimate sacrifice to let their kids have a better life.
Right.
There is not a greater gift of love on this earth that I can think of.
I agree.
And so the two moms that unselfishly allowed me to adopt their kids,
mm-hmm.
I will be forever grateful for their sacrifice and for in debt for the amount of love that they showed their kids.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's deep, isn't it?
It's very deep.
Yeah.
It is.
So I hope that people can experience that depth of love today on Mother's Day and have that kind of appreciation for the women in their lives.
Right, right. And I know not all mothers, you know, are there for their kids. There's situations. I know you and I have a mutual friend that her mom will not even acknowledge her because of her life choice. And that is hard, you know, when your kiddos do things that you don't agree with. But she is one of the neatest, most wonderful people I know.
Yep.
And, you know, I would sure have her as a daughter.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, we talked about, you know, not having to have kids to be a mom. Well, I'm sure you can vouch for this, but there are three women in my life that are not my mom that I would consider mom.
Really?
To me.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And what I'm saying is they had such an impact on my life. So one of them is a lady by the name of Linda Richens.
Okay.
And she lives in Draper. When I got my second job, I was 14 years old. I was a pain in the butt kid. I mean, my dad couldn't slap me enough.
Really?
But Leland took a chance on me and hired me. He ran a oil change business, Richens Auto in Draper, Utah.
Okay.
And he took this punk kid in. I had a mullet. And all I wanted to do was shoot rabbits and play football, you know?
Uh-huh.
But he took me in, and Linda was, I mean, Leland had an effect on me teaching me life skills, life experiences, teaching me how to be a man, how to work hard, that sort of thing. But Linda, she became a mother figure to me.
Oh,
and
nice.
So that's why I'm trying to make the point that yes, she wasn't my mom, but yet she had the same effect on me.
Correct.
And I love her as a mom.
That's awesome.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah. There's a boy that we had since I had girls like you do, the boys come around. I'm just telling you now. Just get the guns ready. But they come around. But we kind of adopted them. And they would come up and they would ask if I had Hostess products. And they'd open up the doors and they would help themselves. And so we figured it's better to have the party at the house than have the girls go to the party. And out of those boys, there's one that we particularly adopted. And he lived with us. And to this day, we still love him. And I think of Garrett as a son. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
I almost guarantee you that Garrett looks at you as a mother.
I hope so, because we sure love him. But yeah, thank you.
That's really neat. That's really neat. So what about other moms? What about grandmas?
Oh, grandmas are the best, are they not?
Oh my heavens.
Yeah.
I loved my grandmas. I wish they were still here, because all I can really do is tell my kids about Grandma Carlson and Grandma Osmond.
Oh, because they didn't meet them at all.
They never met them at all. They passed away before my girls were we're here, but talk about amazing women. And I hope that everybody has that sense of gratitude towards their grandmas.
Yeah, for sure.
Just
for sure.
Wonderful yeah. ladies.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anyone can love you as much as a grandma.
I agree. And as a grandma, I'm not going to say anymore because I'll start crying, but yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There is something just so weird because I didn't think I could love more than my husband. Then I had the girls.
Yes.
Then I didn't think I could love all those ones more than I could. And then I had grandkids and it's just a different, it's the craziest thing. I can't wait till you're to that point in your life.
I can't wait either.
Because you don't have to discipline and you can just have fun with them and have adventure. And I tried to be that kind of mom, but you still had to discipline, you know?
Yeah, you still had to teach your kids what the right from the wrong and that sort of thing. But with grandkids, I mean the it's wide open.
It is.
You
it's
want
wide
candy?
Open.
Here's candy.
Yeah.
You want ice cream? Here's ice cream.
Exactly. You want some shoes? Okay, here you go.
You want to stay up late? Okay.
That's pretty much how it is. I like it.
I think that's gonna be so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I really like
that's
that.
That's really neat.
Yeah. I really, really wanted to be a mom. I remember thinking, oh, it can't be that hard, even though I never really babysat. And I didn't have siblings, but I wanted that. At Christmas, I'd have all this stuff and no one to play with. It was the pits. And so then I would have make-believe friends and make-believe siblings, you know, playing with me. And I guess that's why my mind's so funny and crazy sometimes. But it is hard. It is hard being a mom. And, oh, man, I've made some epic fails.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And I don't want the girls to ever call in and tell you all of them, but I remember when... Okay, now remember, I don't know much about raising babies and the whole thing.
You mean when you first started?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
3.5 years after we were married, we had our first one. She was Darlene. And about 5 months into it, she started teething. And she just cried and cried and cried. So I called my mom up, and we talked almost every day, my mom and I. We lived about 30 minutes apart. And I said, what do I do? And she goes, you know, she gave me some ideas. And she says, why don't you come with me down to Southern Utah, down to Kanosh? I don't know if you know what that little town is.
Oh, I love Kanosh.
I love Kanosh. That's where my mom's from. And so we go down to this little town, and my uncle is down there, and she's crying and crying. He goes, I have something for you. Take this with you. And he gave me this little baby bottle, half full of whiskey. And he said, give her that.
A baby bottle, half full of whiskey?
Yeah. He says, I take this and I give it to my calves when they're teething. I'm like, you do? And he's like, well, yeah, calves do too. And I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, it she'll be fine. I said, okay. So she was good the rest of the trip back home. I get back to my little town in Clinton. At that time, we lived in Clinton, Utah. And I she started crying. And so I gave her the whiskey. Now, no one told me that you needed to just put your finger in and rub their gums. I thought she was supposed to drink the bottle of whiskey. And so she liked it. She had her little lips were just a smacking. And she drank it. She didn't drink the whole thing, but about 3/4 of it. And that was quite a bit of whiskey. And so she slept through the night. Oh, it was a beautiful thing. Woke up in the morning. I fed her. Oh, she slept through the day. It was a beautiful thing. My mom calls me. How you doing? How's the baby? Oh, sleeping. You know, I said I gave her the whiskey, and she goes, "You gave her the whiskey. You gave it to her?" And I said, "Yeah." She was a spoonful, and I said, "No, the bottle."
Oh my gosh.
She's like, "Are you stupid?" I'm like, "Huh?" Anyway, like, "You get that baby to the emergency room," and I'm like, "What?" Anyway, it ended up that I didn't. Obviously kill her, or she didn't have to go in for any sort of treatment.
Oh, no.
But yep, that was my first epic fail.
Oh, no. Bless your heart. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart.
She probably loved every minute of it.
I'm sure. Luckily, to this day, she doesn't drink, I don't think, but who knows? Who knows? It could be why she does some certain things she does. But
I love it. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I was just in here trying to think of Megan when she was first starting with our first one, but the only thing that I think that nothing would even come close to feeding your baby whiskey. but when Cassidy, our oldest, when she was just a newborn, I mean, just, you know, nothing can prepare you as a mom to bring home a newborn baby.
Right.
You know, right. Whether it's your own or whether you adopt her at 3 days old.
I mean,
just when you come home and you feel like your life's falling apart. You
yeah.
know, everything's coming apart at the seams and you're going crazy. And this little baby is just usurping every spare moment you have, you know.
Yes.
And so I was, because we adopted our baby, I could feed him, you know, because mm-hmm. we were feeding formula. So I would... Megan would go to sleep and then I would get up every hour and a half, 2 hours, yeah. whatever it was, in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
so she could get some sleep. But anyway, little Cassidy, she was just the happiest little baby until it got to be, like 7:30 at night. And then she'd just scream and we couldn't console her. And poor Megan was going crazy.
Yeah.
And she wasn't sleeping through the night like she was supposed to. And mm-hmm. we just were the worst parents. You know, we didn't know what was going on. And finally, Megan had this great idea one night. Well, I'm just going to put her to bed at 7, you know.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's going to mess up the routine. But I just can't handle the screaming at night.
Yeah.
So Megan put her down at 7 o'clock. She slept the entire night.
Oh, wow.
Woke up at 6 the next morning. Happy, baby. and so we're just like, what was that? So the next night, we put her to bed at 7. She slept the night ever since. She was just tired.
Oh,
my gosh.
We
had no idea.
Really?
Yes.
You are so lucky. That is so great.
I know.
So many babies are not like
that. I know.
Oh,
and
wow.
So anyway, we sat there for months. Who knows how long it was with this baby that was just so tired and we weren't letting her go to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. We make so many mistakes as moms. We do. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yes.
My daughter, and I'm not going to say which one because I have two, but anybody that knows my family knows one has boys and one has girls. But my daughter that has the girls had come up to Wyoming to visit, and her and her husband were going back with their two girls and a couple of my nephews. And they stopped in Cokeville, which is about, 50 minutes from here. And they stopped in a little gas station. And Eric had to fuel up and then run and go to the restroom. So he did. And meantime, my daughter was working on her checkbook. And her oldest, Finley, asked if she could, you know, run in and go to the bathroom. She goes, yeah, go straight in there. She was 6. Just run straight in there, come straight out. And she's like, okay. So meanwhile, Eric comes back out, starts up the car. And off they go. And they drive out of the parking lot and they start heading down the highway. And my little nephew in the back, Brody, goes, hey, what about Finley? So meanwhile, Finley had come out of the bathroom, goes to go out the door and looks, and she starts crying. And the lady's like, are you okay, honey? And she's like, that's my parents. And she sees this Utah license plate driving off down the road. Oh. And so they both start crying, Finley and the lady in the store. And I never met her. I would love to thank her because she just kind of held her as her parents drove off.
Oh my God.
And so that was immediate, you know, abruptness of the brakes. And they did a wheelie in the road and flipped around and went back. And it was less than probably 3 minutes, but that was 3 minutes of pure hell, I'm sure, for Finley.
Oh, poor little
one. I don't know. I had one time we had some friends that had two babies, and their first baby was a little older, and they put the one baby in the car seat, and they buckled up their daughter, and they went driving off to church, and at the same time, both realized that baby number two was on the roof.
They hadn't
put the second car seat in, and she's like, yells his name, he slams on the brakes, and no kidding, the car seat flies off the roof, hits the hood, hits the road, and's rocking.
Oh,
they both jump out screaming and crying, and the baby's just gooing again. She was fine, but
oh no,
we do mistakes. We do. We're not perfect.
Oh, bless her.
For sure.
Well, I think that we can come together and just say that we love moms today.
We do.
And for you guys out there, make sure that the moms in your life get flowers or chocolate.
Yeah, or anything they want, you know, a back rub.
A new car.
Yeah, a new car. I like that idea. I'm going to tell that to Steve. No, I agree. And also, I think it's really important to the moms that are staying home right now, teaching their kiddos, especially if they've got babies involved and they're trying to teach the older kids and the younger kids, it's not easy. And so my hat's off to teachers. I think a lot of people now realize exactly what teachers have, and they have 30 of them, you know, running around the same age. And And to those moms that are staying home trying to do that, I just applaud you. And to all of the wonderful women out there who try to influence for the better, to make better children in the world, and to make us kinder and nicer to each other, because, you know, that's what it's about, folks.
That is. And I couldn't add anything to that. I think you just said it perfectly. Just so grateful for the moms in my life and for my wife. And we just hope that you all have the best Mother's Day ever.
Ever. Yeah, thanks, moms. Thanks to my daughters and my mom and my grandmas. And thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Why Your Story podcast with Travis Osmond and Mary Jo Parker on SVI Media. To suggest topics or reach out to Travis and Mary Jo, email WYS@SVINews.com. That's WYS@SVINews.com. And be sure to follow Why Your Story on Facebook. Stay tuned for the next Why Your Story podcast on Podbean, SVINews.com, and the SVI News app.